The Bible says it's not good for man to be alone. We're created by God for divine purpose, to be fruitful and multiply and take dominion. You're listening to Dominion Dating. We go the distance to connect godly singles. Join us as we partner with pastors and churches to fuel a marriage reformation. Welcome back to Dominion Dating Podcast. I'm your host, Brandon Durham. Today, I'm joined in studio by my wife, Amanda. We're picking back up with our story of how we met online and how we fast-tracked it to a life of marital bliss. Amanda, sweetheart, it's great to be with you today. Are you ready to dive back into our story?
Oh yeah, honey, let's do it.
All right, so marital bliss might not be the right word to describe the beginning of our life together. As we'll discuss here in a bit, a storm was brewing on the very near horizon. So let's recap part one of our story. We met on a Christian dating site in 2017. I was living in the U.S. and in the early phase of planting a church, and you were living in your home country of Brazil at that time. And just 6 weeks after first meeting on a Christian dating site, suddenly I'm in Brazil visiting in person for the first time, and we got engaged. Now, if you think that's fast, today as we pick back up with our story, fast forward just 2 months from our engagement, or 3.5 months from the moment we first laid eyes on each other's dating profile pictures, and suddenly I'm back in Brazil, and this time we're getting married. But I want to back up for a moment. Amanda, about 7 months prior to us meeting, you suddenly quit a promising career as an actress and model. I mean, your career was really beginning to take off. You were landing more and more roles in movies and soap operas, acting alongside of some of Brazil's biggest names. You're modeling for L'Oreal, Heineken. You're dancing with Usain Bolt and hanging out with Gerard Butler. So I want to discuss what prompted you to give all that up, leave Rio de Janeiro, which is the Hollywood of Brazil, and move home to a tiny house in a tiny town with your mom and grandmother. So, to begin with, in the midst of this season of life, behind the scenes, your world was coming unraveled. Would you share some about that?
Yes, honey. First of all, yeah, that was some nice memories, but not nicer than the life we have together now, honey. That's for sure. So, that time I was dating a Christian guy who didn't want to get married. 3 years in an unhealthy relationship that made me very emotionally dependent, you know, which means that God wasn't the center of my life at all. That relationship, guys, was my idol. In addition, I was diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis, Hashimoto disease, endometriosis, and other autoimmune diseases. So it was a very hard time for me.
And you also had some pretty scary news from your doctor at this time. What happened?
Oh, yeah, that's true. I was about to have a lung surgery. My lung was full of tumors, so I needed that surgery because my health was, pretty bad. And we weren't sure if it was cancer or not, so it was scary.
So it seems evident that God brought some severe mercies into your life to get your attention and ultimately lead you to repentance. What happened at that point?
You're right, honey. I was a disobedient daughter, but God, my father, still loved me. Just like we see in Romans 8:28, God worked in all my sufferings for my good. That's mercy. However, I had to make a decision and change my path of disobedience. So I went to a retreat in my hometown. And that was really, guys, a game changer in my life. There, I've got godly counsel from an older woman to end my relationship, quit my career, leave Rio de Janeiro, or I would die. Oh my goodness.
So it's great that you had an older godly woman to speak God's truth into your life. You had been a Christian for about 3 years at this point. Looking back, were there any other people in your life attempting to guide you towards a life pleasing to the Lord?
Yes. Mm-hmm. My pastor and his wife were godly people, and they never gave up on me. The pastor, he did rebuke me for some modeling jobs I took, but he was very, very reluctant to... Is that right, honey, this word? Reluctant?
Mm-mm.
Reluctant.
Reluctant.
Okay, thank you, honey. He was reluctant to address discipleship issues such as pursuing a career that was virtually impossible without worldly compromises, you know. And also, he was very afraid of saying something about my casual dating, something that I was experiencing, and it's very, very common among Christians. You know, guys, I honestly believe that a feminist mindset keeps pastors from speaking the truth out loud and from rebuking women who see career as something empowering. But of course, as a stubborn Christian, who I was, I played my part by refusing repeated attempts by the pastor's wife to invite me into a discipleship relationship. So that's what was going on.
So after persisting in a sinful direction for a number of years with a casual dating relationship and with what was often a very morally compromising career, you find yourself at this retreat, and this older godly woman is telling you bluntly that you need to dump the dude, lose the career, and move home with mom. Now, on top of this, God has brought a debilitating illness into your life with rheumatoid arthritis. You've got pain that's coursing through your body. What was your response at this point? Were you finally ready to surrender?
So, honey, as I said before, I was very, very stubborn. I liked to do things my way, not God's way. So I wasn't ready. I wasn't ready to leave everything behind. I wasn't ready to say yes to God.
Now, remarkably, God continued to pursue you in your waywardness with a patient and at times painful fatherly love. So you had a very dramatic experience the night of that retreat as you were wrestling with God. Can you tell us about that?
Yes, I can, honey. That night, you know, was very remarkable. So the lady who was counseling me, she said I would die if I insisted on staying in Rio de Janeiro. So after I really, you know, I really cried out all my anger, all my frustrations to God. After that, I asked him, I remember very fresh in my mind, I asked him to confirm what that lady was saying. I was ready to obey God if that order had come from God himself. So, that very same night, I had a very bizarre dream, and I want to tell you guys about it. So, here's the dream. I'm in a car, my sister is driving in a very winding road, then a big truck cross our way, we stop, I look up out of the window, and the famous Christ the Redeemer statue is looking at me. And then the head of that statue, guys, just falls off and crashes through the hood of my car. You know, we're dead. So that was very scary. I woke up sweating, crying, and then I just, you know, I just said, okay, God, your will be done. I'm leaving Rio de Janeiro.
Wow.
So, I'm laughing now, but, you know, it was terrible.
Well, thank you so much for sharing that, sweetie. So you had a dramatic Damascus Road experience, so to speak. I mean, you were rebelling against God, and the Christ Redeemer statue stopped you in your tracks. Where did you go from there?
So, I've got all my stuff from Rio de Janeiro and moved back home. I got plugged into a church family, who I love, by the way. There, I found discipleship, community, friendship. I was also recovering from my lung surgery. And I started something new. I started baking brownies and selling them out of my home to help pay bills. And also, guys, I had a lot of free time. So I started watching many YouTube videos, including videos to learn English. I really wanted to learn English. You know, that was before I met Brandon. So I was studying English every single day. And a few months later, I joined a 10-day free trial on a Christian dating site. I wanted to practice my English, and I actually found my husband.
You know, looking back, you really went through quite a storm of your own in the months leading up to our wedding day. Meanwhile, I'm here in the U.S., smack dab in the middle of Houston, really struggling to find my bearings as a church planter and more fundamentally as a man. I had previously spent 4 years living overseas. I did 2 international stints as a pastor and an interim pastor in Taiwan and Slovakia. Now I've come home and encountered just a ton of dead ends and closed doors. I mean, there's not a lot of opportunity for single men in ministry, at least not much that pays the bills. Thankfully, I found a church planting network willing to take me on and pay me a salary. So there I was, working to get established, and it's beginning to look like the pieces of our lives are finally falling into place, even if it's about 15 years later than we would have liked. So that brings us full circle back to our wedding day. Now, I'm 36 and you're 33 at this time. The big day has arrived. We've worked through a fight that we had the night before, which triggered a lot of fear in both of us. And now we're mere hours from entering into the covenant of marriage. What's going through your mind?
Ooh, the big day. So, honey, and everybody. I was afraid, you know, I was very afraid you would have a breakdown. I'm being honest here. You were far away from your family and friends. I wasn't so sure if you really had gotten over our fight. So I prayed. I prayed a lot. And God really brought peace and joy into my heart.
I remember feeling kind of dazed, thinking this is not how I imagined it growing up. I was alone on the other side of the world. It really wasn't feasible to have friends and family present. No best man by my side. And I never imagined I would need an English translator at my wedding to know what in the world was going on. It really was a step of faith. I had to let go of the romanticized picture, which I'd built up over the course of 36 years, and cling to the truth in Scripture. You know, that is not good for man to be alone, and he who finds a wife finds a good thing, a gift from God. So I really leaned into that, and in the Lord's strength, I simply put one foot in front of the other as we marched towards the bonds of marriage. Sweetheart, how did you discipline your thoughts? I mean, what emboldened you to join me at the altar that day before all your friends and family in the sight of God to enter into the covenant of marriage?
Thank you for this question, honey. Well, I remembered, you know, how God has led me to that point, how beautifully He was working in my life. I was really grateful, honey, for the godly man I was about to marry. You are so different from all men I have met. You know that, right, honey?
Thank you, sweet.
I just, you know, I wanted to build a family with you. So, I was ready.
Well, we know that marriage is hard to begin with because it joins two sinners together. And on top of that fundamental reality, you and I are facing a language barrier, a cultural barrier, a geographical barrier, and you're dealing with severe chronic illness. And there was something else that day, quite foreboding, which was going on as we stood together at the marriage altar. Do you remember what that was?
Oh, yes, I do. That was Hurricane Harvey.
That's right. At the exact moment that we were standing at the altar in Brazil on August 26, 2017, Hurricane Harvey, which has been called a thousand-year storm, was bearing down on our future home in Houston. And as we stood at the altar preparing to build a life together, we literally didn't know and wouldn't know for days if we even had a home to come home to. Mm-hmm. So with all these challenges swirling in the background, we leaned in with brave faces to enjoy a really beautiful wedding ceremony. Sweetie, would you tell our audience, what are some of the highlights you remember from our wedding ceremony?
Oh, brothers and sisters, that was such a beautiful evening, right, honey?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. You know, I remember your face waiting for me while I walked through the aisle with my dad. I also remember the vows we wrote and said to each other. I was super nervous about my English, but the Holy Spirit really helped me a lot. I remember of us dancing a Michael Bublé song. That was fun.
Mm-hmm, it was.
I also remember all the love and support we got from my mom. I remember some people, and that's funny, honey. I remember some people talking to you very slowly in Portuguese, as if that would make you understand something.
Didn't help. I remember your pastor did a wonderful job of keeping the gospel front and center for everyone there. And I think the thing I loved the most was getting to share our celebration with your family. I remember sitting at the table at the reception, eating delicious food with your big, rowdy family, smiling and laughing together. That's a memory that I really treasure. Mm-hmm. So by the time we finally made it to our hotel room on our wedding night, we were drained. We were long past the 20-year-old versions of ourselves that would have been giddy with glee about consummating our marriage with a long night of passion. I was a 36-year-old virgin who spent the past decade sitting in my recliner as a romantic Gnostic, living vicariously through romantic comedies. Now suddenly I was alone in the room with a woman who had spent the past several years of her life acting in those romantic comedies. Suddenly I was playing the leading role in my own rom-com. And as you might expect, things went terribly wrong. My worst nightmare came true as my beautiful wife stepped out of the shadows to give herself to me. My body simply failed to report for duty. I mean, there was zero communication between my brain and the region below my belt. Basically, I experienced a kind of death that night. We tried to do CPR, but there was no pulse. So we drank champagne and went to sleep. I tried to stay encouraged, but honestly, I felt like I was right back in high school, striking out in the big game in the bottom of the ninth with that long walk of shame back to the dugout, having let down my team and my entire town. My sweetheart tried to give me a pep talk. I think it was something like, "We'll get them tomorrow, sport." But we didn't. We spent the next 4 days of our honeymoon in a beautiful mountain resort, and it was everything you could have ever hoped for in a honeymoon, except no sex. I struck out over and over and over. I mean, if I had struck out that many times in T-ball, they would have kicked me off the team. We eventually phoned a local pharmacy and had them deliver a discreet brown bag of over-the-counter Viagra. Thank God we were still in Brazil. I still had a fighting chance at consummating our marriage. But no. Even with a corked bat, I couldn't get a base hit. Our honeymoon ended with me curled up in a fetal position, sobbing like a big baby, and my poor wife trying to assure me that I still had a reason to live. Honey, that's probably a good place to stop, don't you think?
Hi, honey. Yes, I'm so proud of you. You're sharing all this.
Friends, thank you for listening. You might not know it from our perfect start, but our marriage was heading straight into a storm that would batter our lives for much longer than Hurricane Harvey. We'll pick up right here next time as we catch you up to speed on the first 3+ years of our marriage. If you know a pastor, a church, a parent, or a godly single who would benefit from Dominion Dating, please share our project with them and help us get the word out as we gear up for our April 2021 crowdfunding campaign. We'll see you next time. Thank you for listening to Dominion Dating. Our mission is to create the best network of doctrinally sound, marriage-ready singles in the world. Let us go the distance for you. Visit dominion.dating and join the marriage reformation.